Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride with your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the podcast by the Sons of Technology. My name is Joe Marquez. I'm an educator out of the Central Valley of California and currently the Director of Academic Innovation for Q. And as always, my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Kyle, please introduce yourself.
Hello, everybody. This is Kyle Anderson coming at you from Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm a special education teacher. You can find me on Twitter at Anderson EdTech. Same thing with Instagram. I have a blog, AndersonEdTech.net. And then I also have a book called To the Edge, Successes and Failures Through Risk-Taking. You can find that on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and also through my publisher, EduMatch Publishing. So, and before we had the issues where you were frozen, for those of you that are not watching this live and just hearing the audio version, we had a great conversation before we hit record. And as soon as we hit record, Joe froze for like 3 minutes. So, but before we were talking about that, we were talking, what are we going to talk about tonight? I said, you know what, Joe, surprise me. So you gave me a couple ideas, but I don't know which one of these topics we're actually going to talk about today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about here today?
For what we're going to be talking about today, Kyle, it's something I'm really excited about because I was able to work with one of our best friends, Adam Juarez, yesterday for presenting to principals in California. We had about 45 principals in our little workshop that we did. It was called the Principals Academy. And we were introducing them to 21st century skills that students should be learning, the tools that teachers should be using to teach those skills, but also how administrators should be utilizing the same tools teachers are using in the classroom with their staff to show solidarity and growth along with their teachers. And so we were showing the administrators how to use these tools in the classroom, but also how they can use it as an administrator to engage their staff before meetings and in lieu of meetings and a whole bunch of different things. So today, Kyle, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about approaching the administration to utilize the tools that teachers are using in the classroom so that they can gain an appreciation for them, so that they can have the same vocabulary and dialogue when teachers are talking about these tools, they have an understanding of them as well. And so I'm going to bring up some ideas, some of the tools that we talked about yesterday and some of the instances they can be utilized. But I would also love to hear your thoughts. And also, if you have some tools you think admin can flip on its head to utilize in their daily or weekly or monthly practices for staying in communication with their staff or engaging their staff, so on and so forth. So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, that sounds good. Like I said, I knew nothing about what we were going to talk about today because, like I said, you gave me a couple of options. And I said, you know what? Just surprise me today. So I want to think on my toes a little bit more, especially since we've been off for about a month with our episodes here. So, you know, we've talked a few times in the last few months about how life has caught up a few times and the recording schedule has been a little tougher. And that was definitely the case in the last month too. So, but now in regards to today's topic, so if you've read my book, if you've listened to the show before, if you've ever had a conversation with me, you may know that I was actually a school administrator for a short time. So for about 6 months, I was a middle school dean. My job mainly consisted of student discipline. And that's part of the reason why I did not enjoy it, because my interactions with students tended to be more of the negative nature instead of the positive nature. So I eventually returned to the classroom after that 6 months or so because of a lot of different reasons, but that being one of those. So, but one of the things that I did when I was an administrator was I was really deep into presenting at conferences and doing professional development for staff, things of that nature. And I actually had a session at that time that was basically tech tools for administrators, for just the basic framework for it. So, and just different ways that different tools could be used as an administrator, some of the same ones that teachers are using as well. So I'm not going to say I'm an expert on this or have a wealth of knowledge on it, but I do have a handful of ideas that I am looking forward to sharing now with you and then our listeners today as we go through this conversation.
Yeah, and you know, the part of the conversation, the part of the reason this conversation I really feel needs to come up is because of that running joke of staff meetings where everybody just says, couldn't all of this been done through email, right? Couldn't this have all been done through email? And the question is, what is the purpose of staff meetings? Some administrators say, well, the purpose of staff meetings, yeah, you want to disseminate some information, but it's really to get the entire staff together to feel like a team, because everybody off during the day is, you know, dealing with their kids and their lesson planning and their day to day. Sometimes you don't actually see an adult for days at a time, you know, when you're deep into it. And so sometimes administrators want to bring people together for that particular reason, but you never want people leaving the meeting going, oh, that was a waste of time. Or we didn't even get into what we needed to get into talking about because we barely got into what we were going to talk about. And so how can you really amplify the time that you do have together by creating some asynchronous things beforehand to gather more information, to gather thoughts ahead of time? So what I pitched to some of these administrators was utilizing a back channel before and after the meeting to get thoughts about particular topics that are going to be brought up. For example, let's say that a school district is rolling out a revamped social media policy for teachers and students. And the district says to the administrator on site, okay, we need all the teachers to read this social media policy, ask any questions that they have about it. You reassure them about it, administrator. And then they need to sign this paper saying that they abide by this social media policy. Now, you tell me this. Do you think you're going to get all the information out from that document in a single before school 20, 25 minute meeting? You're not, right? You're not. You're basically going to maybe put the social media policy in the teacher box, tell them, oh, before you come to the meeting, make sure you've read it and come with your questions. Some people are going to read it. Some people are not going to read it. Some people are like, I don't even use social media, so I'm not even going to do that. They come in, you talk a little bit about it. Some teachers are hesitant to raise their hand. Some people are bogarting the entire conversation because they have a lot to say. And by the end, people don't have all the information. They didn't have all the questions or comments they wanted to make. And the administrator at the end goes, but we need this signed by Friday. So make sure you give it to me. And most people are just like, whatever. And they sign it and hand it in before they leave the meeting. How much did that meeting actually benefit anybody at that point? Because it's so rushed. And so my point was this. My point was, put out a Padlet ahead of time and be like, look, what are some concerns before even reading the social media policy? What are some of your concerns about the district asking you to be mindful of your posts? Or what are some of your concerns that, people can see your things outside of the classroom, that kind of stuff? What are your concerns? And so have a back channel to have teachers have a conversation, because as we've seen in the classroom, by creating a back channel for other students to kind of post their thoughts, they start to see, oh, wait a minute. There's a lot of people in this class that have my same ideas, my same mindset. Now I'm not as afraid to raise my hand and vocalize those mindsets because I have like-minded individuals here. And we have to understand that's the way teachers are as well in a staff meeting. I mean, I've been there so many times where I'm sitting there going, oh, I really want to say this, but is that going to be like the comment that everybody's going to be like, oh, there's Joe again, right? Or are there like-minded individuals that are afraid to talk as well? And now none of us are getting out. So by having that opening back channel before the meeting even starts, it at least allows people to hear each other's mindsets. And maybe it even sets the stage for the administrators to have a talk track, knowing what there's going to be talking about going into it. What are your thoughts about something like that before an actual meeting?
I think it definitely gives a better opportunity for people to have their voices heard, because again, there are those meetings where you get in there and it's a lot of just one person talking and lecturing. And then the questions that do come up are usually that one person that always has the question that pertains only to them and not to the whole staff. And then that extends the meeting even longer a lot of times. So having that Padlet ahead of time is definitely a good way to do it. If you don't want to do the Padlet, there's other tools that are out there, like the Google Jamboard, or for Microsoft, you could have a OneNote that, you know, could be shared out to others as well. So there's a lot of different options that are available for that. So, well, and kind of piggybacking off the staff meeting too, there's, with the last year and a half, 2 years almost now of how things shifted or whatever, there's a lot more ways you can meet that are available. It doesn't have to be just the whole everybody report to the school library for this staff meeting now. So, and this is something that my school has actually adopted now, is that my principal wants to get information out to us in ways other than just that email. So you joked around about the how the staff meeting could have been an email. So sometimes you need to have that staff meeting just to make sure people are on the same page. But at the same time, though, time is so precious. Getting everybody to meet together, especially if it's before school, is going to be really hard to do. So what my principal has implemented now is on Wednesdays, she puts a Google Meet link out and says at 7:30, we're going to have a staff meeting. This staff meeting will be done by 7:40. So because school starts at 7:45. So we're all supposed to be at school by 7:30 anyway, in our classrooms, getting ready to go. So it's real easy for us to get on that Google Meet link, have that on while we're still getting ready. So now we're not taking time away from teachers out of their classroom who are trying to get ready in the morning by making them go down to the library or some other room in order to have this meeting. The principal can get their message out in a way that can not only be kind of in person, but then also if you happen to miss the meeting, they always record them and then put them out there for everybody. If you have a question and you don't want to interrupt the meeting, you can always put it in the chat, and then other administrators are moderating the chat and answering questions as it goes. So that's something that I feel that so far has been working out really well for my school as well, because again, getting people to show up for a meeting, especially that early in the morning, can be really hard. And then you always know this too. They say the meeting starts at 7:30. It never starts at 7:30 because people are still straggling in. And that meeting, if you're lucky, we'll get ready to go at like 7:37, you know, and then already we've wasted half the time that you would have to have that meeting.
No, I mean, that's the point of it all, right? Is, you know, there should be a start and stop time. And when it's in face to face, you're trying to get things ready, you're trying to explain what you're going to be talking about today because you didn't send out an agenda ahead of time, or there's handouts at the beginning of the door that you're asking the teachers to pick up and read along with you. I mean, getting everything done in that short amount of time, it just takes up time. And most teachers, myself included, the entire time sitting there listening to a meeting before school starts, it's me planning what I'm doing for the day. I mean, in my head, going over what I'm doing that day. I'm not listening. I'm not in the mindset to listen. So if I have an idea of what's going to be talked about, if I have the resources ahead of time, I can at least have my head in the game a little bit. Speaking of which, why are we just giving handouts to teachers as they're walking into a meeting? Why are we just putting handouts in their boxes? You know, as a teacher, I always ask myself the question, are my students reading what I want them to read? And are they understanding what I want them to read? And do they have any questions about what they're reading? And if you just do that with a piece of paper as somebody's walking in or in the box, it's all over the place. And so I introduced Edgy to these principals. I go, look, Edgy's a great tool. It's a collaborative annotation document. You can upload any PDF or any text to this, and you can then send it to teacher like, hey, we are having our staff meeting on Wednesday. You're getting this on Monday. It's a document that you're gonna have to sign. Please read through it. Please leave comments. Please note questions, because we are going to be reviewing this. And at least you can see how many teachers actually clicked on that link and how many teachers actually read it. Are they actually interacting with the text? Do they also have questions on the text? It's just a great way for administrators to be like, okay, what kind of meeting is this going to be? Is it going to be a meeting of informed teachers because they actually read it? Because you can see all the people who logged in. Or is it going to be a meeting of me actually be like, none of you guys read this. So let's cancel this meeting because none of you are reading this. We'll come back next week. You have to read. I mean, at least you know what you're walking into instead of blank stares you know, and as a teacher, I don't want to have blank stares from students. I want to make sure they have, they're ready to talk. And so as an administrator, you probably want the same thing, yet your teachers are ready to talk, not just blank stares. And I know that we've talked about edgy before on this program. And I know, Kyle, you've said, oh, you're going to take a look at it. But what do you think about having the administrators hand out the documents in that fashion? Does that sound a little intrusive to the teachers? Do you think it's going to be like, oh, now they're monitoring if we're reading things or not? I mean, but you should be reading things if you're getting handed them out. But what do you think about that? Is that in a teacher mindset, is that going too far, or is that a step in the right direction?
I can definitely see where some teachers may have that mindset where now they're like, oh, there's no trust here, that they're making us read these things and then that it's monitoring whether we're reading or not. So, but sometimes we get so caught up in things, and I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it at times. I can't talk. You're guilty of it at times as well, that we just get caught up and forget to do things sometimes. So where if you've got something like that where you know it's going to be sending out a notification whether you looked at it or not, you may be more apt to take a look at it. So, and if a teacher gets offended by that, that's no different to me than if you sent out directions to an assignment for a student and then they came and they didn't turn in the assignment, or they turned it in, didn't follow the directions or whatever, and you approach that student like, well, why didn't you read the directions? To me, that's no different. So we expect our students to open up the email or open up the assignment, follow the directions with it, ask questions if they have it. Why should it be any different for teachers? So to me, and again, I speak for myself only, that to me is not being intrusive or being big brother or anything on it. So, and now with edgy, that's a good option there, but something that I've been using when I send out either documents or forms to teachers in regards to my special ed caseload is I've been starting to turn on the red receipt option in Gmail, because I've been having a lot of trouble with I'll send out a form looking for input on a student's strengths and areas for improvement, things of that nature. And then I do that 2 weeks before an IEP is due, and a week later, I don't have any responses from the teachers. So I send it out again, and I'm still not getting responses from teachers. So I know that people are busy, but now I'm trying to get information for a legal document. So I started using that red receipt option in order to see, hey, this person did open my email up, so they know what's there. All right. And if they're not completing it, I mean, again, it could be that they're very, very busy, or it could be that they're just ignoring my email. I don't know. So, and it's not like I want to use it as a way to get other educators in trouble by any means. But again, when I'm looking for information for an IEP that I need, sometimes I may have to have an administrator step in and be like, hey, listen, Mr. Anderson has sent this out to you a couple different times now. He needs this information. So that red receipt is a simpler option if you want to get information out there too, and also to make sure that people have received that information as well.
Yeah, and you know, there's new features in the Google products, Google Docs, Google Slides, that will actually, like when you share it out to people to view, it'll actually tell you who's actually viewed it and who has interacted with it. So at least you can get analytics on people on your staff who's actually seen it. And you can have it to where it's just your domain and it tracks just the people in the domain who are clicking on it. So that's another option as well. And again, the purpose of this is not to, like you said, Kyle, catch you like, ha, you're not reading your stuff. It's because teachers have a lot on their mind and it may slip their mind. But if they know there's a check mark that has to be next to their name before they walk into that meeting, if they know that, oh, you know, my administrator is going to know if I actually even open this to view it, maybe they're more likely to do so, right? Same thing with students. The moment you take away excuses or loopholes, they actually start doing it more because they're like, oh, they're going to know right away. They're going to know right away I didn't open this or do this or what have you. So I might as well do it. And so I think it just helps keep people accountable. Otherwise, the meetings aren't going to be beneficial, right? If the meetings aren't going to be beneficial, if there's a document that should be read and nobody has read it, then the meeting definitely has to be canceled. Like, look, you guys aren't reading it. Take another week, read it. We'll reschedule the meeting. But at least the administrator now knows what they're going into, knows the questions that are looking to be asked. And with Edgy, you can actually see which section was read over and over and over again. So you can see which sections kind of resonated with the staff, even if they didn't leave a comment on it, be like, oh, that section where the district can monitor your posts, no matter when you posted. Oh, that's something that really made me read it a couple times. So that's, to me, that's a benefit for those purposes, just to make the meeting worthwhile. Because again, you don't want to walk out of a meeting and be like, that could have been done via email, right? But I do like the fact that your administrator is doing quick 10-minute meetings via Zoom or via Google Meet. And that kind of sparks the idea of in 10 minutes, how much interaction can really happen, right? Isn't it more the administrator kind of saying things that are going on in school? So could that be like a little miniature podcast that the administrators can put out, and just internal? You don't have to put it external, but a little miniature podcast. A StreamYard that goes to your YouTube channel that is private, and then you can send that link out to your staff that way, right, to get information out. There's a lot of different things that can be done to disseminate information from the administrators to the staff. And because there's so many different ways that voice and video and text can be sent, I mean, sky's the limit to get information out to your staff, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I mentioned with my staff meetings now that they always record them, because we do have early bird classes at my school that start at 6:45 or something like that, and they go till 7:40. So those teachers can't be in those meetings. So they always have to go back and watch the recording. But it could also be somebody that just wasn't at school that day. So they can always go back and watch. Or maybe in the case of me a couple of weeks ago, I'm on my way to work and everything's great, grand, and wonderful until I come up on an accident on the freeway about 3 miles from my exit. And what normally takes me 3 minutes to get from that point on my commute to the exit took me almost 45 minutes because traffic was so bad. So I was 45 minutes late for work that day and I wasn't able to get in the meeting. So that's another good reason to have those recordings made. Or later on down the road, it could be, hey, we're not going to meet, but here's a couple of announcements that I'm going to send out to you. And some principals may be like, you know, just an email will be fine. But some people, they'll read the email, some won't. But maybe if they hear it or if they see it in that email, that's something else that could happen. And there's so many great tools out there that we've talked in the show. There's Screencastify, there's Loom that you could use. So just a lot of different tools that are out there. So now, kind of shifting gears a little bit to some other tools and ways to use those. So one of the main things that administrators have to do is they have to observe teachers teaching and then write evaluations with that. So now, it used to be years ago, I can remember my first year or so, where administrator would come in my room with a legal pad and a pen, and they would scroll some notes down. And then they would email you later on, say, hey, come to my office so we can talk about this a little bit more and get some feedback out to you. And then eventually they would take those written notes and then put those into a printed document that you'd go over with them in a meeting, sign off on it, and that was your evaluation for the year. So now, with all the technology that's available out there, we can move well beyond those written notes that are out there. And in my experience over the last few years, I think most administrators have moved on from the paper and pencil kind of observations. So maybe some are still writing down a handful of things, but for the most part, they're at least rolling into the room with a laptop or an iPad or something of that nature for an observation to take notes with. So now, when I was in that short time as an administrator, so one of my jobs was teacher observation as well, and I was looking at the system for how observations were written in my district, and I saw various administrators doing it a certain way, and I looked and I'm like, that seems very cumbersome. It feels like a lot of extra work. Is there an easier way? And what I ended up figuring out was creating documents for each teacher in Google Sheets One was an observation document, and then I had an observation document for their professional standards as well. Those things that you don't necessarily see in an observation every day. So the observation document, I had all the standards and indicators for the evaluation system in there as the rows. For each column, I would put the date of the observation. Then whatever I saw for a particular standard or indicator, I would type into that box. On this date, this is what I saw. Here's the evidence for it. So in an observation of, say, 20 minutes, I might see six different standards being hit, and I could put the evidence in there. And then once I was getting ready to write that observation, I could just copy and paste it in to the system versus having to find a document that I made with various notes or whatever, and then go back and rewrite it. So I was trying to write them how they would go into the system as I was doing the observation. So then on top of that, instead of then emailing the teacher and saying, hey, let's meet at this time so we can go over what I saw. Instead, what I had was on that Google Sheet, I shared that directly with the teacher as a view-only document. That way, once my observation with them was done, if they wanted to stop what they were doing and go to their computer and look at what I wrote on there, they could. So they would actually know going into our like post observation meeting what I saw and put in there. So they were prepared already. With the professional standards one, I actually gave them editing rights on that, and with instructions that whatever you are doing, I want you to type into the box what you're doing to hit this standard. So like one of the standards could be about like parent-guardian interactions and communications. That's not something you see in a classroom observation. So what are you doing for that? So the teacher could then go into that document and write, well, every Friday I spend an hour calling parents of students that are not doing so well and are missing assignments. And then I spend a half an hour making positive home calls home. So that's something that they could write into that box. And then I could then see that and then bring that up in discussion during that post-observation conference as well. So it made life a lot easier come time for writing those evaluations because it was already there. I could just, again, copy and paste it over. But again, I think the best thing about it was that it wasn't a surprise when the teacher walked in for that post-observation because they kind of already knew what I had on there and what I had seen and what the talking points were going to be.
No, I mean, and I think that's fantastic, right? I mean, you know, one of the things about technology that really should excite administrators is the instant feedback you can give teachers right away. Right? Where as soon as you're out of that room, whatever you have written down or inputted into that Google Sheet, that teacher has access to it. They have access to it to view it and talk about it. So when you do call them in, they have that background information of what you're going to kind of talk about. And maybe even the teacher would have, well, they gave me a low score on this. Let me bring some materials to back up why it should be a higher score, right? They're actually walking in with a better conversation attitude than if going in like, I wonder what they're going to say to me. As a technology TOSA, I used to go and walk classrooms just to see how teachers are using technology, or if they're not using technology, at least I can write some notes to myself about what would work here, what would engage the kids more. But I created a Google Sheet, right? And I see Ruth down there. I'm not, it wasn't surprise observations. I'd say, hey, I'm coming in. Can I watch your classroom? Of course, because I wasn't an administrator. I was a fellow teacher just helping out with technology. But when I would go in, I would have a Google form, right? And I had a drop down of all the teachers' names. So I'd click the teacher's name. I'd select the date and time. And then I'd say, I really liked this lesson on. I really loved how you engaged the students this way. I really thought the way that you used this. And it would always be positive, And then I would hit submit. And with the power of Autocrat, right? You know Autocrat, it would automatically create a PDF email and then send it right to the teacher as I was walking out of the classroom. And so they would always get these encouraging notes from me after I'd left. Instead of me going, okay, now I got to go back to my classroom. Now I got to do a write-up. Now I got to send them. It's all done for you based off that Autocrat mile, that Autocrat routine. So, to me, that would be great for administrators as well. When you have the scheduled observations or this or that, being able to have those instant emails be sent out right after you're done. That is not only going to save the administrator time, but it the teacher's not sitting going, I wonder what they're writing. I wonder what they're going to say. I wonder. It's instant. Boom. It's popped in. You're good to go. So I love the steps that you did, Kyle, for that. And then I think Brent Cooley is the one that created a whole bunch of forms that administrators can do to walk around and do observations and stuff like that. So definitely check him out because he has a lot of already pre-created forms that you can utilize during those drop-ins or teacher observations.
Well, then on top of that, my Beer EDU podcast partner, Ben Dixon, he, I know for a long time, was using Voxer as part of his observation process too, where he would go in to a classroom, observe, and then as soon as he'd walk out, he'd open up Voxer and send a message to the teacher talking about things that that he saw and that what he liked and what he saw that could be an improvement. So that was something too that the teacher could then later on that day or even right after the observation ended, could go on and listen to a message directly from Ben. And then it also gave, before that a post-observation conference, it gave the teacher the opportunity to send something back by voice too. So they could almost have a conversation before the conversation using that. So I'm not sure if Ben's still doing that or not. I think he is, but that's another one. If you connect with Ben, he could talk to you a little bit about how he uses Voxer in that process.
No, I mean, utilizing any of those kinds of tools are really cool. I mean, I always think to myself though, like, you know, is this something that can be used universally as well, right? You know, some teachers are adverse to adding more apps on their phone or this or that. You know, that's why I think Voxer is really good. It's almost like a walkie-talkie, right? And if teachers buy into that, that's awesome to do it that way. And everything's collated and historical on there. That's really good. My administrators adopted Remind for the staff. You know, be able to send out quick notes. Hey, don't forget to read that document, or hey, don't forget that it's bad air day today, so there's going to be no sports. Please make sure you announce that to your staff, your students. And the reason that really worked well was because it went right to the teacher's cell phones, and the teacher may miss an email, but they're not going to miss a text message, right? That's just God's honest truth. Teachers will check their text messages. So by implementing the Remind as a information tool, the staff was well informed constantly, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then other things that I've seen administrators do is they carry around a stack of sticky notes. And they just write stuff out and they just go pop it on the desk of the teacher or hand it to him as they walk out. I mean, and, you know, Ben, and I know you mentioned Brent Coley. I know he's mentioned this before too, where he walks into a classroom and he sees a sticky note that he wrote 4 years ago for a teacher that's still on their bulletin board or something like that, because those kinds of little things mean a lot. So sometimes trying to make your life easier doesn't even necessarily need the technology. It's just something little like that that can be a world of difference as well.
No, yeah, absolutely. But I do cringe at sticky notes, not for that one. That's a good use of sticky notes. You know, the sticky notes that I always cringe at is the sticky notes that they ask you at the beginning of the year or at a staff meeting or on a staff development day, where there's giant butcher paper all over the room, around the room with different topics, and you have to write things on a sticky note and place it and then move to the next one and then place it. And they go back. And I'll tell you why that frustrates me so much, because it just makes you feel like I only have a finite amount of time to write on this sticky note. I don't really have anything I want to say about this particular topic. So what am I going to write on this sticky note just to make it look like I'm writing something? And it usually takes longer than it's supposed to. Nobody gets through all the sticky notes. And the administrators say, okay, we're going to continue this next meeting. And they roll up the butcher paper and it goes somewhere. And they may never come out again. You may never know where they went. or they do come out and half the sticky notes have fallen off. Yours isn't there anymore. They're all rolled up. I mean, to me, that is just like, why are we doing it that way when there's so many different ways that it can be done? Like you mentioned, Google Jamboard. You can easily do that exact same activity on a Jamboard. And yes, I know they want to get people up and moving around and this and that. But guess what? They can do that without coming to a meeting just yet. And then you can talk about what people have put on it at the meeting, right? So that can all be done ahead of time. And you don't have to roll it up. And it's all there for everybody to see. And if you wanted to, it's anonymous. So you don't have to know who wrote what. So, I mean, to me, that is probably the grandest idea of using technology to do the same thing, but get away from all the hassle that it brings. Because to me, it's kind of nuts that that's still being done. And again, I know they like teachers getting up and moving around and chatting. I completely understand that. But the end result just is never, to me, what it could be if it's done digitally and you can have that historical context without things falling off or being lost or destroyed.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning of this that you and Adam Juarez were talking with a group of principals about different things. So we've talked about some really good things so far, but I'd like to hear about a few more of the things that maybe that you talked about with principals, other ways that tech could be used as administrators, like it's being used with teachers and students. So what else did you just talk about?
Yeah, you know, so one of the things we definitely talked about was Flipgrid, right? Utilizing Flipgrid for just a quick comment from teachers. You know, like we were talking about, having a administrator bring up a topic, bring up a question, bring something up and just say, hey, staff, I just want to hear your responses to this. You know, take your time to respond, take a week to respond, but I would love to hear your response on this. And so we were talking about how they can leave a video as the prompt, up to 10 minutes as the prompt on the Flipgrid. They can then maybe even attach an article to read or attach a website or attach a document and then have the teachers interact by responding off of Flipgrid. And to me, the reason I think that's powerful is because of this. The teachers responding go through the emotional process that the students go through when we ask them to respond to a Flipgrid. Like, oh, you want me to be on camera? Oh, you want to hear my voice? Oh, everybody's going to be able to see my response. Oh, they go through all of those emotions just like the kids do. So when a teacher uses it in the classroom, if they've been exposed to it through a staff routine, when the teacher uses it in the classroom, they understand that, oh, some kids are going to be shy. Some kids are going to be kind of reserved in their responses. Some kids, because they've been through it. And the administrators benefit from it because they now know how to use a tool that teachers are going to be using in the classroom. And so you can speak that common language when you're talking about Flipgrid and the possibilities with Flipgrid. So that's one of the other things that we talked about with them. And in fact, one of the parting activities we asked them to do was a flip hunt so that they can go around their workspace or their house or wherever they were at to do a couple different recordings so that they can see that it can be a larger scale activity rather than just a single prompt to ask a question.
Yeah, I know that's definitely something that has been very big in the classroom for the last few years. And then you know, Flipgrid has really stepped up to the plate over the last couple of years and even more recently in the last couple of months with a lot of the different updates to make it a more accessible tool for really anybody. I mean, I'm hearing about people using Flipgrid for their family where they're putting on a topic of like for holiday cards, like digital holiday cards or something like that and whatnot. So no, that's definitely a really great tool that administrators could take advantage of. So now I failed to mention this when we were talking about the staff meetings a little bit, and I apologize for that, but it just kind of came back to me a little bit too. So staff meetings don't always have to be about business. They can be a little bit about fun as well. And one of the things that you really could do in a staff meeting too is just play a quick little game. And there's lots of tools out there that we as teachers use in our classroom for this, things like quizzes and Kahoot and GimKit or whatnot. You can do that in staff meetings as well. So I know that last year, especially during staff meetings, when we were all online, it was about, let's do something fun just to kind of, you know, ease the tension a little bit and, you know, prepare you for the fact that this is going to be an online meeting with a whole bunch of information that you're probably not going to want to be here for. So let's have a little fun first. So putting out just a fun little like general trivia kind of Kahoot or a quizzes or something like that is something that you could do. So, or to make it even more relatable to those at the school, make it like a general trivia about the school or about the community as well, just to have a little bit of fun with it, maybe learn something. And then I know my administration last year, if you did well on it, there was prizes for like the top five people, you know, and I'm not talking like, you know, $100 gift cards or, you know, the giant fruit basket or something like a little $5 gift card to like Starbucks or something like that, you know, just something kind of simple and easy and fun. And, you know, those always make those staff meetings a little bit better as well, if you can have something like that.
No, I mean, yeah. And if you add that in with all the other things we had talked about, like the preloading, the pre-questions, doing those things, you now have time to do those fun things, right? You now have time to do those, I guess you can call it a bell ringer at the beginning of the meeting. I mean, how great is it to start a meeting with like a Disney quiz, just real a 10 question Disney quiz or a Marvel quiz or what have you, because it's so easy to grab those off of Kahoot or quizzes or GimKit. We also talked about, you know, making sure that you always have an avenue for teachers to ask questions during the meeting if they don't want to raise their hand. So truly having a parking lot or truly having a back channel during the meeting. And one of the ways that we showed them how to do that was with Nearpod or Pear Deck. After a main slide or after a main point or after a main topic, just have an open-ended question. Any comments, any questions at all, and you just leave that up while you're talking about it. And so if anybody wants to ask a question or post a comment during that time, they can do that right on the Nearpod or Pear Deck. Other teachers can raise their hands and do their comments, you know, traditionally, but those teachers who don't want to do that vocally, they can do that on that particular tool. Because as we all know, if you're just sitting there watching a PowerPoint,
PowerPoint is boring.
Then we just can't, I mean, you don't even know if they're paying attention, right? Again, because there's so much going on in the life of a teacher. And most of the staff meetings that I've been to were on a Wednesday, like halfway through the week. You know, I mean, like, come on, man. That you're not thinking about what's happening. You're just like, is it over? Is it over? Is it over? I hope there's one more breakfast burrito left before we leave so I can put that in my refrigerator in the classroom. Like, they're just thinking about all these different things. They're not listening to you. But if you have points of confusion, right? POC sections. So if there's a point where teachers can then be like, okay, this is our POC point. If you're confused about anything we've talked about, if you have a question about anything we've talked about, this is the time to add to that POC, add to that point of confusion or point of conversation, I guess would be an easier way to talk about it. And if you really want to keep teachers on task, you can have an actual real quick multiple choice about what you just talked about. Hey, what was one of the things we just talked about? Teacher, but then like, oh, I better be paying attention because my name is next to this thing right here. But just make it fun and interactive, right? Again, not to be like, haha, gotcha, you're not paying attention. But when teachers know that that there's going to be something they have to do that their name is attached to, they're more likely to listen and pay attention while it's happening. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in a Zoom meeting where somebody would say, Joe, what do you think? Can you repeat the question? What were you talking about? Because if you have a chance to be off task, you're going to get off task. That's just human nature. I truly believe that. So just with students in the classroom, you got to make sure teachers are on task or engaged, I should say, engaged in the conversation or topic while you're having that meeting.
Now you mentioned that these meetings are always on Wednesday and you always got things on your mind. So is there really an ideal time for a staff meeting though? Because think about it this way. You mentioned that Wednesdays are not good because it's halfway through the week. You're just looking to get through the rest of it and yada, yada, yada. But You don't want one first thing Monday morning because that just sounds awful. You definitely don't want one after school on Friday. So I would say, if anything, maybe a staff meeting on a Friday morning might be the most ideal time. But in my opinion, I don't think there's an ideal time at all.
Well, you know, I think the best staff meetings happen off campus after school on a Friday. But, you know, I think you cover that in your Beer EDU podcast.
I was just about to say that the whole premise behind the Beer EDU podcast was the conversations that teachers have after school on a Friday where they swear they're not going to talk about work and then they talk about work anyway. That's what that whole podcast is about. So shameless plug, if you've never checked out the Beer EDU podcast, it's a lot of fun. You can check us out on any podcast app that's out there. So as we're starting to wind down here a little bit, that I've had this great conversation about different things. So do we have anything else we want to add before we sign off for this episode?
You know, I would say just a collaborative activity also is something that we tried to share with the principals that we had chatted with. So, I mean, we talked about, you know, if you're doing something on a particular topic, to use one of the EDGE protocols called thin slides, where the teacher, you have one slide deck and a teacher brings in one word or phrase and one image that represents what their thought process on that particular topic, just something really quick and simple, to do it that way. And then also to do a collaborative deck where we did one called Past, Present, Future. And we put three principals in a Zoom breakout together. And we said, okay, we want you to talk as a group. How did you approach technology as a staff in the past before the pandemic? How are you approaching it in the present during the pandemic? And how would you like to see it approached, or how would you like to see it evolve being utilized on your campus in the future? And so we have them create this almost collage of words and images about their past, present, and future view of technology. And the administrators had a couple comments with that. One, they were like, we had no idea you can work on the same slide together before. That's what they said, right? And I explained to them, I go, I know you come from the on-prem camp, meaning you're working on your device with the PowerPoint by yourself on a slide. You don't think that collaboration could happen if you've never done it before. Another one said is, we knew you can do that, but man, people were deleting my stuff or moving my things when I didn't want them to. I go, exactly. That's where the communication piece comes in. A lot of planning has to go into, hey, that's a great idea. Who wants to put it down? And there's a couple different ways you can go about it. One person can be the scribe. They're the ones that actually write. One person could be coming up with that. You have to come up with that. That's the collaboration piece. That's the communication piece. And then get creative on how you do it. And then we talk about how that's the four C's in action, right? And so by having them do that activity, they were exposed to how that can be used in the classroom. If you do that activity as an administrator with your staff, that exposes to the teachers, oh, I can use this in my classroom. By using it in your professional practice, you're more likely to use it in your classroom practice. So that was a big aha moment for a lot of the principals we were working with, because it was fun, engaging, collaborative, and eye-opening at the same time. So highly recommend just doing these activities. This would not be done during a meeting. This would be done as like a, hey, you know, just get together with your staff and get this done at one point. But it was fun. And I loved how engaged the principals were. I loved the comments coming through saying, wow, never knew this existed or never knew this is the way it could be done. Because that's the whole purpose, is exposing people to a new way and then hoping they find their own way, right? There is no one way of doing things, but you still want to show how you do it to kind of inspire, and hopefully they'll take it and then reconfigure it to meet the needs of their staff and their students.
So as we wrap things up here, Joe and I, well, first of all, we thank you for listening, especially if you stuck around with this long at this point. Please check us out on Twitter at Sons of Tech EDU. We have a Facebook page you can check us out on too, Sons of Technology. And then our YouTube channel is at sonsoftechnology.com. So you can actually see these recordings as they happen, get notifications for when we're going to go live, and then check out a lot of the other great stuff that we have on that channel as well. And then, of course, if you're listening to this, you're already on your favorite podcast app, but know that it's out there on pretty much any podcast app that's there. So tell a friend about it. We would love to hear your feedback, love to hear their feedback. And then, Joe, we also have a challenge that we've kind of neglected to talk about over these last few episodes, but it's still out there. It's our Flipgrid challenge. So what's that all about?
Yeah, definitely. If you are listening to this podcast and it resonates with you, you are a member of the EdTech Army. And remember, the EdTech Army is just educators all across the world whose main mission is to push the boundaries, to move forward for the benefit of their staff and their students. Try to do new things, to ditch that fear, to keep moving forward, to go boldly. That's what the EdTech Army is about. If that is you, if that resonates with you, we would love for you to officially say that you are a member of the EdTech Army by jumping on our Flipgrid, saying your name and what your position is, and that you are, in fact, a member of the EdTech Army. And if you do that, we'll reach out to you. We'll let you know when that recording will be played at the beginning of one of our podcasts. And we'll also send you a sticker pack, with all the different Sons of Technology stickers and EdTech Army stickers that we have. We'll send it your way as a token of our appreciation. And also, by the way, if you are looking to connect with us more or connect with more educators that are willing to take risks, is having two conferences coming up. So we have a completely virtual conference coming up here in October, October 23rd and 24th. It is called Fall Q, over 200 sessions. And if you go to q.org/fall, you can sign up today. And Sons of Technology will be there for Meet the Podcasters on Saturday, the 23rd at noon. Kyle, I think you signed up already for Meet the Podcasters and Meet the Authors as well. If not, you can definitely still sign up for those slots. But again, that is happening Saturday, October 23rd, and Sunday, October 24th for Fall Q. And if you are always excited about Spring Q in Palm Springs, for the first time in 3 years, yes, in 3 years, Spring Q will be happening live in person in Palm Springs. And that is happening March 17th through 19th, March 17th through 19th in Palm Springs, California. Registration is open now, and session submissions are open now as well. And as always, if you are selected to present a session, your registration to the conference is free. You would just have to pay your hotel and travel. But other than that, the registration to the conference itself is free. So a lot of ways to connect with the Sons of Technology, a lot of ways to connect with the EdTech Army, and a lot of ways to connect with more risk-taking innovators and educators out there as well. Kyle, are you excited about Fall Q, Spring Q, about Q coming back to face-to-face?
I am excited for that. Unfortunately, though, I'm not going to be able to make it to either one of them this year.
No,
I'm not going to be able to, because for Fall Q, I am actually signed up for a hockey tournament that I'm going to be playing in. This tournament where it's basically just like a beer league kind of thing, where teams are coming in from different parts of the country, and I'm going to be playing hockey basically from Thursday night through Sunday night. Guaranteed 3 games for this tournament, and then Thursday night is my regular league night, and then I have a game for my other league night on Sunday night. So I'm playing at least 5 games that weekend alone, and then if we do well enough, there'll be more games involved. So unfortunately, Fall Q is out of the question for me, and then Spring Q I'm not going to be able to do because my daughter has a dance competition in my old stomping grounds of Reno, Nevada, and we will be doing a family trip to Reno for her dance competition for that weekend. And while I will not be able to partake in the Spring Q festivities, I am looking forward to reconnecting with some of my old colleagues from Carson City in Reno for my time that I was living there. So while I won't again be at Spring Q, I'm still going to be getting my education on a little bit in between my daughter's dance competition numbers.
No, and that's good. And don't forget to visit a Revision Brewing Company down there in Reno. You know, that's one of my favorites. Always a great place to go. You took me there last time I visited you when you were in Reno. It was a great trip, great place, great opportunity. So thanks everybody for sticking with us. Again, we took a month hiatus because Kyle had a birthday and we had a death in the family, and you know, we always say take care of ourselves, and everything else will take care of itself. And that's what we did. We got back to you as soon as we could, and we appreciate you sticking out with us all these episodes, all these years. So thank you so much for everything that you do. Thank you so much for choosing education as your profession. And thank you so much for just being the amazing individual that you always are. So keep on innovating, keep on being out there, and keep on ditching that fear for the betterment of your students, staff, and community. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day.